Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. We're still talking about Corinthians chapter 8. And we were just reading verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto the hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. They thought it was okay to eat of things offered to idols. And we just talked about those idols is nothing in the world. And the word world there is constitutional order or system of government. You remember, pure religion is to take care of the needy, unspotted by the world, the constitutional order or system of government. Because those systems use force. They are where the benefactors who exercise authority, the fathers of the earth, compel the offerings of the people, the sacrifice of the people, the Corban of the people to take care of the needy. They force that and do not depend on faith, hope, and charity. Faith, hope, and charity edifieth. Charity edifieth. But force does not. Force makes you a tyrant. It causes you to think it's okay to take a bite out of your neighbor to get what you want. You're hungry, you want some free bread, you want free health care. You simply take a bite out of your neighbor. It is a covetous practice that destroys society. And while you were singing in church, you implemented those same systems in your world today. Contrary to what Christ said, it was not to be that way with you. You have need of repentance. Verse 8, but meat commendeth us not to God. Again, provisions, these provisions that they're talking about, they're not commending us to God because they're based on force, that meat that he's talking about. That meat that is the result of sacrifice to those benefactors who exercise authority. Those benefactors of the world. Those gods of the world. I mean, the word gods, many, that's the same word we see translated into the single word God. You look it up in the concordance, and that word theos was used commonly to address magistrates in imperial courts, in courts of law. This is why Augustus Caesar was called a god, because he was the ruling judge of the courts. He appointed all the imperial judges throughout the empire. And this made him an apotheos, an appointer of gods. You go to the Capitol Dome of the United States government, and there's a painting up there in the Capitol Dome called the Apotheos of Washington. The apotheosis of Washington, the appointer of gods. It says on the U.S. government website, that painting raises Washington to the rank of God. Now, on Washington's behalf, when he was appointing the federal judges, the imperial judges of the United States, they had very few cases to cover because most of the people were private citizens in their own states. They weren't federal citizens. There was very little for those federal judges to decide on. Now, almost everything becomes a federal issue. Somebody in the Midwest is being defrauded by a former employee who's claiming all kinds of overtime after he left, and now he's probably going to find himself in a lot of trouble because in order to get discovery to find out more about why does he make this claim, because he was paid better than most people. And his claim is just seems to be completely false. But they discovered that he was stealing from the company, and reopening the investigation. But the whole matter is now in federal court, a dispute over past wages from a company he left and quit and made no complaint at the time he left. Now he comes back after he's lost his other job, that he wants to get back pay from years before. But it's a federal matter. Why? Because he's a federal employee. Oh, he doesn't work for the federal government. He works for a private company. But he's still a federal employee, has a federal employee identification number. And for so many hours every day, he's working for the federal government for free. You know, I was talking to you about Denmark, and, you know, supposed to be the happiest people in the world, the Danish people, and they have a $20 minimum wage, and they have free education, and free health care, and free this, and free that. But yet you can find all kinds of people who say, I'll never move back to Denmark again. Even Danish people don't want to live there. They have over 50% income tax. They have 25% sales tax. They have 150% luxury tax. So that $20 minimum wage don't go very far. it just don't. The reality is it's a socialist nation. It's a nation of covetous people, which you find all throughout Europe now. And now the United States is following that same path. Been doing it for 100 years because public schools is socialism. And socialism is coveting your neighbor's goods through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. An absolutely anti-Christ practice, practiced by most people today calling themselves Christians. That's shocking to a lot of people. If they stumble upon and listen to what I have to say, they're not going to like what I have to say. They're going to think, this guy's crazy. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. I don't do what he said. I go to men who call themselves benefactors. I make the state my father and the father of my children by sending my children to public education. I waive my rights when I drop my children off. If I need anything, I'm not going to church. I'm going to go to the temples of the world, the constitutional order and system of government. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idols' temples. And the idol's temple, those temples are Temple of Saturn, the Parthenos. That's where you went for your welfare. That's where you went to register your membership in their religious social welfare schemes. And remember, religion is how you provide for the needy of your society. It used to be defined in America 200 years ago that it was the performance of your duty to God and your fellow man. That's when you took care of the needy of your society. Through what? Charity, not through force. That was religion. Now religion is what you think about God, because you just sit on your butts in the pew and you think about God and you think you're worshiping him. With the rest of the week, you're bowing down and serving the gods many of the world, providing them with unpaid labor so that they will have the resources to provide for your fellow man through forced offerings. This is it's absolutely contrary. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're calling yourself a Christian. I don't care. I'm looking at what you do. And what you do is covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority. You take a bite out of one another. You've abandoned Abraham. You've abandoned Moses. And you have abandoned Jesus Christ. And whatever you call yourself as far as the religion is total hypocrisy. And I'm rebuking you now because I love you. Because even though I know many of you will hate me and want to destroy me for saying what I'm saying, somebody needs to say it. You're not doing what God said. You're not doing what Christ said. You're not keeping the commandments of God or Christ or any of the prophets. And the only way to do it righteously is to gather together and start sacrificing for the good of one another. And those of you who have, share with those of you who don't have enough. And you're completely out of practice. You don't know how to do that. And you're going to need to go on the fast track to learn it, because the system you now depend on, the unrighteous mammon of entrusted wealth, is bankrupt and is about to fail. And the fact that you don't pay in doesn't get you any closer to the kingdom of God. It just makes you a selfish, fatherless son. You've abandoned your civic father, and you have not yet abided in your spiritual father in heaven, because you are not taking care of the needy in pure religion. So just the fact that you don't serve at the temples of the world doesn't mean that you're in the kingdom of God, because you haven't sought His righteousness, His righteous way. We need to provide for the needy of our society in a way that strengthens them, but we need to do that. It draws us near. That sacrifice draws us near the Holy Spirit so that we may hear Him and He may guide us. And if we aren't doing that, we are not emboldened with the ways of Christ. So we need to form these congregations of record, and we need to start tithing to them and sacrificing to them, and we need to find ministers who will do a good job in the daily ministration of the people, and who will be attentive to that. And you will be changed by that effort, because that is the walk in the way. Verse 11, And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Because we're not showing him the way. We're not being the welfare of the people. We're not taking care of one another. You know, if Christians were actually doing what Christians were doing in the first century, every Christian church doing that would be exempt from what they call Obamacare, the new health care system. You'd be exempt. If you were doing what the first century church were doing, they have a built-in exemption. I think that just rubs your nose in your own spiritual thesis, because you aren't doing what Christ says. You're doing the abominable. You're asking men to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Christ died to set you free, and you've gone back to bondage for benefits. The greatest destroyers of liberty are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And that's you. And that's your system. And your church is an abomination, because it doesn't provide for the needy of your congregations. And the division of your churches, Baptists, Methodists, Lutherans, Christians, Catholics, Jehovah Witnesses. There's only one church established by Christ. It's His church, and it does things His way. I'm not establishing it. It's already established. I'm trying to conform to it. So I know that it's not enough to have your little local congregation of back scratchers, of guys who make each other feel good. You have to care about the next congregation as much as you care about your own. because that's the nature of Christ, to care about your neighbor as much as yourself. That means you also have to care about your neighboring congregations and those other congregations, and you have to give regularly. And if nobody needs help in your congregation this week, then you give anyway in the network of congregations to help other congregations. And if there isn't enough, then it's because you've been slothful in seeking the lost sheep. If there seems to be surplus, then there is a way that that those ministers, those men who don't exercise authority, can invest that to create a buffer between you and starvation. And you will need that because starvation is coming. You are morally bankrupt as a society. You are false Christians by your practices. But you can change that. That's the good news. The kingdom of heaven is within your reach. If you will repent and turn around and go the other way. So I'm going to read back that verse 11 again. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Remember, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. That knowledge, that word, you really need to study that word more, but we won't do that right now. Verse 12, but when ye sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. So if you're not striving to come together in congregations that live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty, by taking care of one another in a daily ministration of charity, you're sinning against Christ by that omission. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh, while the world standeth, lest I make my brother offend. But all the modern Christians do. They eat at the temples of men who exercise authority, of the fathers of the earth. They take bites out of one another, and they go to church not to provide the Eucharist of Christ, the bread of Christ, the thanksgiving of Christ. They go to church to have their ears tickled and be filled with self-righteousness, to be made to feel good. Oh, I love the music at that church. I like that preacher's sermons. They make me feel so good. Meanwhile, you've abandoned the ways of Christ in the early church in exchange for the ways of Nimrod and Caesar. Ye do have need of repentance. 1 Corinthians 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Remember, he's Romeos. He has this great freedom that the head of the cohort had to pay for. It's not Roman citizenship. It's this other thing. Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord, his service? I mean, he's taking funds from congregations in Galatia and moving them around to other places where they need to be and vice versa. If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. What's he talking about there? He's talking about that these people in Corinth have to care about others that he also serves as much as they care about himself. Otherwise, you're not in the Lord. You're in your little denomination, your little made-up religion, created by men. And, you know, you're what is it, Lutheran, Methodist? I can't think of what church it was, but I know of somebody who was in such a church, was an elder supposedly in that church. They didn't even know what an elder was, because they're eating heavily of the temples of the gods many of the world. But they had their communion, and somebody visiting from another church but of a different synod, his own sister, comes there and goes up for this ritual communion, this little crumb that they're going to hand out and make you think that now you've received the blood of Jesus Christ, yet you live by the blood of your neighbor. You are provided for by the blood of your neighbor. You take a bite out of your neighbor. But you got this ritual that makes you think you're accepting Christ. And that makes you feel good emotionally. And he stops her from taking the communion because you're in a different synod. That's false religion. That's apostasy to the worst degree. You're not doing anything the first century church did. You're not providing for one another. Your Corbin is making the word of God to none effect. Now, I'm not saying this business is totally wicked. They actually did try to take care of their parents to some degree. Not totally. Not pure religion, because it was spotted by the world. The world did provide the social welfare, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. They didn't do that all themselves. They didn't provide that all themselves. But at least they were trying to do it. When I worked in a convalescent home where I met my wife, taking care of the elderly. I'll be taking care of the elderly until I'm in the grave, it seems like. Because you're not doing your job. But we were impressed, or we were disappointed with the sons and daughters of many of the old people that we took care of, because they came for the Christmas party and few of them went up and visited with their parents for any length of time. But they were all down at the party. They're all drinking, and there were nurses dancing on the tables, but the old people were still up in their beds. Nobody sat with them. And who paid for the bed? Men who exercised authority. Men who forced their neighbors to contribute to the welfare of their parents. They didn't provide for their parents. They didn't fatten their parents. They didn't honor their parents. They looked to men who, you know, the fathers of the earth, to provide for their parents. Because they had set up, back in 1933, a system of Corbin, social welfare, that made the word of God to none effect. And now they wonder why there is so much corruption in the world. Why children don't respect parents. Why they're losing the work ethic that made this country great. Why 50% of the families end up in divorce and then some. Why gay marriages become so popular, and homosexuality, because family is insignificant. Family used to be the social welfare of society. And then the congregation of the heads of those families, the elders, that's every head of a family is an elder, who came together and through faith, hope, and charity took care of one another. That bound society together. That's gone. You don't do that anymore. The handwriting is on the wall. It's inevitable. The unrighteous mammon is going to fail. It's failed already. It's just you haven't hit the sidewalk yet. You need to repent and actually find out what Christ was really saying. He goes on in verse 3, "Mine answer to them that do examine me is this, have we not power to eat and drink? Have we not power to lead a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas?" Power to lead. You know what that word power is there? That's the word exousia that you see in Romans 13. He says, have we not the power, the exousia, the right to choose? Why is he using the word that some Bibles translate government? That's a word that they translate government. Have we not the power? The right to choose. Yeah, they are the government. Paul was the ambassador of Christ. They were the government. They anointed other ministers to perform the services of government, to take care of the needy of society, but through faith, hope, and charity. He says, don't I have the power to eat of what is offered? The Levites did. Have we not the power to lead a sister or wife as well as other apostles? Take care of that. And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we the power, excuse you, to forbear working? We don't have to go to work. We can just eat of the offerings that are given us to take care of the needy. We can spend all our time doing that. We have that right as ministers of Christ, true ministers of Christ. And then he goes on to say, who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of that flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for the oxen? He's saying the minister can eat of the offering. But then what does he say after that? Where's he going with this? Are you ready to find out? Are you ready to hear the truth? We'll be right back. So welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. As we talked about in chapter 8 about things offered unto idols, which was simply offered to the welfare systems of the state, were benefactors who exercised authority one over the other. And, of course, there was a great deal of corruption in this unrighteous mammon was a part of that whole system of social welfare, free bread and circuses that we see in Rome that brought around eventually the collapse of Rome and the bankruptcy of Rome. But more important, the bankruptcy of the Roman citizen, the people of Rome. They were morally bankrupted by this system. And we've quoted in the past people like Plutarch and Polybius, one of the great historians of Rome, talking about how these systems corrupt the people so they become fit for nothing but tyranny. They lose their liberty. And they actually promote the loss of their own liberty and their own bondage through their desire for these free benefits. And they write about it in history over and over again. If you want to know the future, study the past. Because if you knew the history of Rome, you would know that you've gone the ways of Rome, not the ways of Christ. You call yourself a Christian, but you take the name of Jesus Christ in vain. And you have need of repentance. So Paul ends up talking in chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians about this fact that he can eat of the offerings. He's an apostle. He's an ambassador of Christ. He can eat of the offerings. He can support himself by what is given, because he's the ox that treadeth out the grain. He's out there preaching the word, connecting people, moving stuff about. He's dedicating his time and his life to this purpose. And he could do that as a minister of Christ. And And that's what your minister can do too, if your minister is really fulfilling the commands of Christ. But they are not. They are leading you away from the ways of Christ and into the ways of Rome. And you're still making them rich, because there's more money to be had in tickling the ears of the people, making the people feel good about their sin, which is their way off the path. And their church is not the government, the power. You know, Paul's using the word that we see in Romans 13, let every man be subject to the higher power. And they actually translate that government, be subject to the government. But Paul's saying, we have the power. They don't have the power to tax you, but they have the power to receive your free will offering, your contribution. Because the kingdom of God always operates by free will offerings. Verse 10 goes on to say, or saith he it altogether for our sake? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thrasheth in hope should be partakers of his hope. We can eat of those offerings. We have sown unto you spiritual things. Is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power, excusia, over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffereth all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about the holy things, that's, you know, the bread that they distribute amongst the poor, the needy, live of all things of the temple. You're the temple. You give something to the minister. They can eat that. But he can only eat so much bread, but he can sustain himself on your offering. He has that right. And that's what Paul's talking about. And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. And even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. He's saying you guys should be supporting this ministry. But that ministry of Paul actually took care of the needy of their society, unspotted by the world, by those benefactors who exercise authority. They were taking care of all the social welfare. Not hard to do. It'll be hard for you now because you've created this beast that is going around and biting and taking from you. So you're going to have less, and you're going to have inflation like you've never seen before. So it's going to be harder, but it didn't have to be. 100 years ago, Christian society took care of all the social welfare need of society. People weren't dying and starving in the streets. Elderly were taken care of and provided for. And the poor were helped and strengthened. But now, you don't do that by faith, hope, and charity. You don't do that by love. You go to church to feel good. Shame. You take the name of the Lord in vain. You don't even support your ministers. He goes on to say, but I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be done unto me, for it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I am preaching you the gospel. Take one care of one another. Love one another through faith, hope, and charity. And stop asking men who exercise authority to take away from your neighbor so that you can have what you want. That's the gospel. But you're not doing that. Woe unto me if I don't tell you that that's what you need to do. That is repentance. Anything short of that is not repentance. And therefore you are not saved, and you do not believe in Christ. You are under a strong delusion. That message doesn't pay very good. Not in contributions. When I talk about liberty and freedom and the system, and people want to be out of the system, and oh, that gets people's interest. But if you're not taking care of one another by faith, hope, and charity, you don't deserve to be out of the system. You deserve to be under tribute. That's where you should be. For if I do these things willingly, I have reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. That's why all of our recordings we give away. You can read all the books in their entirety online in several different formats. You can download them. I give all that away for free. Because that's the nature of the ministry of God. But I also give you the truth. The problem is, most of you people who think you're Christians can't handle the truth. Most of the people that are in the network are not in the living network. They're just on email groups because they don't actually form congregations and give daily for a daily ministration. We have ministers. Most of the contributions to the church come from the ministers who work. It doesn't come from the congregation. Shocking. Shocking. But that's how far we've gone away from the righteousness of God. And I know it's a long journey back. And some are beginning to take that journey. But the laborers are few. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jew I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partakers thereof with you. Now, I was explaining to somebody what, actually, I've had to explain it several times, the number of calls that I've had and the number of people that are contacting me, some of whom don't have congregations of record, are not going through the other ministers. The ministers that we have available are not perfect men. They're not yet saints, many of them. But still, how will they become good ministers if you do not go to them and ask them to minister? The role of the elder is as important as the role of the minister. It is a relationship. It's amazing the number of men that we've had that were ministers and then they get all upset because we're not playing the churchianity game, which is really why they're all upset. We're not, you know, saying the magic phrases. And they abandon us because they say the church is it's about relations. They abandon the relationship of righteousness for the relationship of emotional support. Is not the Holy Spirit support enough? You see, we weaken one another with this emotional support. Occasionally we have to offer it. We're there for one another and we create this somewhat dependence, the same as a mother creates a dependence of her child when she nurses him. She nurses him and he becomes dependent upon the comfort of his mother. But he grows and becomes alive. But there comes a time to wean yourself of the emotional church and eat the church of meat. And you eat the church of meat by giving of your flesh, of your sweat, of your toil, by sacrificing. Because then, when you sacrifice the flesh, fast from the flesh and give it to others, you're drawn spiritually towards spiritual things. This is why the word for sacrifice is coming from the word in the Hebrew language that means to draw near. Because when you practice the way of Christ, which is to sacrifice, you are spiritually drawn near to Christ and the Holy Spirit and it to you. So that by giving up, you may have life more abundant. Are you tracking with this now? Are you understanding how important it is to form congregations? Why of record? Or it's not of record, it's of testimony. We use the word record because a record is testimony. And because if you abbreviate that, a congregation of recorded elders, it comes out the word core. But if if you use the words congregation of testifying elders, it comes out the name coat. So it's just vocabulary. If you're not seeking to be a core in a congregation of congregations, you're not seeking to be in a congregation that is bound together by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty by the daily sacrifice in ministration to the needy of a general society, you're not seeking the kingdom of God. You might be seeking knowledge. You might be reading all about the Bible and revelations and things to come and trying to decipher, pre-trib, post-trib, all this kind of gobbledygook. Somebody was telling me last night they were looking up several things that are controversies in the apostate church on our website. And they did a word search and they didn't find me mention them once. Go do a search how many times I mentioned charity, love, Christ, Jesus, quotes from the Bible. All over the place. But these modern controversies, unimportant. Unimportant. They're just distractions. People forever learning, never coming to a knowledge of the truth. How do you come to a knowledge of the truth? Because you study? Study to show thyself approved? The problem is that word study there is never translated study anywhere else in the Bible but that one verse. It's the word for diligent. What? Diligent in what? In sacrifice. One for another. Verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Everybody runs, but not everybody gets the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. I'm shocked at the number of millionaire ministers out there. Christ was a millionaire. Did you know that? When he was born, he was a millionaire. He came from an extremely rich family. His uncle was one of the richest men in all of the Roman Empire. His uncle. But though he was rich, as it says in the Bible, he made himself poor. He gave up his wealth. And when the rich man came to him and said, I give half of everything I have to the poor, but I want to do more. He says, hey, you know, this is great. Give up everything. Make yourself poor like me. Come follow me. Come do what I'm doing. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to take that walk? Because if you're not, you're not really a minister of Christ. I don't know what you're a minister of. All you ministers who made yourself rich while not providing a daily ministration for the people, for the needy of your society, while sending the people to men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, you're apostate workers of iniquities. You're the prophets of the beast. You shall be thrown into the lake of fire. Unless, of course, you want to try repentance now. Because there's maybe, if you're hearing me, there is still time to repent. To give up your millions and come follow the ways of Christ. Are you ready, Billy Graham? Are you ready? I was going to say a few other names there. I can't even remember. Haggy. I can't even remember all the guys. Their names are unimportant, but their names are numerous. They are not following the ways of Christ. They have not been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They have not been teaching people to live by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. They have not been doing what the first century church does. Oh, they'll tell you about blood moons, and they'll tell you about, oh, accepting Jesus and be getting all excited emotionally, but they're not going to tell you how to walk in the ways of Christ, in the way of the early church. Instead, they have led you to walk in the ways of Rome. Rome fell. Rome collapsed. And millions died of disease and starvation and plagues. And you're worried about, you know, what Revelation says? And you're not serving one another? And you're not taking care of those that take care of you? Are you, if someone is giving you and providing for you, what are you providing for them? You should pay your taxes. You should pay Caesar. You should pay your tally of bricks. But are you gathering together at night to provide for benefits of righteousness? Well, night cometh. The other day was one of the longest days of the year. But now the days are going to be getting shorter. Darkness is upon the land. So are you running the race? He says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You need to follow the ways of Christ. Your ministers need to repent. You need to repent. You need to seek a society of faith, hope, and charity that does not send people to eat at the altars of idols, to eat the things sacrificed to the temples of the state, and that sacrifice being forced, like the Corban of the Pharisees, by the government. That government is serving God by forcing you because you have rejected the ways of God and not taken care of one another. So for a time, you should pay into that system while you also pay into the system of Christ. And they still give you a deduction for it, which allows you the opportunity of giving more. But if you're not creating that system we call the church to take care of those benefits by faith, hope, and charity, then you're not repentant, and you're not following Christ. You're not being a doer of the word. The very next chapter is chapter 10. We won't get very far into that, but we'll touch on it. Moreover, brethren, he's adding to what he's just said. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, that's that cloud in the wilderness, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, and they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. How were they overthrown? What were they really doing? What was their sacrifices? If you go to those places, you know, you actually can find the stones where they clearly moved animals down through a stone corral, and then they brought them to a place to slaughter the animal, the beef animal. What were they doing there? What were they doing camped there? What were they eating daily? They were eating the sacrifices, and people were making the sacrifice to take care of one another and being bound by faith, hope, and charity in the perfect law of liberty. You haven't started that, but you're going to get a chance to do it. Until then, peace upon your house, and may God be with you. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.